Well, it's 17 November. It's Wednesday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and it's time for the Wednesday CG Report. Follow the money. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, we'll start out with a couple of articles from Steve Kirsch. First one, new VAERS analysis reveals hundreds of serious adverse events that the CDC and FDA never told us about. The CDC and FDA have said the vaccines are safe and effective. They haven't found any serious issues with COVID vaccines. Zero, zip, nada. It was the DOD that found myocarditis. The evidence in plain sight shows that they either were lying or they are incompetent or both. Personally, I'd go with the both. But of course, the medical community is never going to call them out on this. So that's where our team of vaccine safety experts comes in to reveal the truth about what is really going on. In a new VAERS data analysis performed by Albert Benavides, we found hundreds of serious adverse events that were completely missed by the CDC that should have been mentioned in the informed consent document that are given to patients. And we found over 200 symptoms that occur at a higher rate than myocarditis relative to all previous vaccines over the past 5 years. Altogether, there were over 4,000 VAERS adverse event codes that were elevated by these vaccines by a factor of 10 or more over the baseline that the CDC should have warned people about. As of November 1st, 2021, there have been more adverse events reported for the COVID vaccines than for all 70-plus vaccines combined since they started tracking adverse events 30 years ago. That's a stunning statistic. Nobody can deny it. But nobody in the mainstream medical community or media seems to care much. It's not even worth noting in passing. His second article. Here's the real reason Comirnaty is not available. It's very interesting, and it shows the level of depravity that these people have gone to. The reason Comirnaty isn't available is because those shots would expose the company to liability, since the fully licensed product doesn't have the liability waiver of the EUA product. But once the Pfizer vaccine is fully approved in kids, then Pfizer gets liability waiver on all age groups due to a feature in federal law for child vaccines. At that time, they are done. They can market the COVID vaccine products under full approval for all age groups and face no liability when it kills you or disables you. This is why they are focused on the kids. This is why there is a reformulation at one-third dose, and they changed the buffer and the storage conditions. All of these will weaken the protection, but result in a safer vaccine since it is ineffective. But for the clinical trials on the 5 to 11-year-olds, they did not use the formulation they approved in the meeting. This is known as bait and switch. It's the second time that we've talked about bait and switches. So, they used a more effective vaccine to show efficacy in the trials they completed. Then they get the FDA to approve the drug, but with a change in formulation. Then the product with the new buffer will go out to the public with the lower efficacy but better safety. This is because they don't want to jeopardize any adverse events happening until they are fully approved. So, they basically use Formula 1 for safety, get an approval for Formula 2, safer but less effective, then roll out Formula 2 under EUA. They also arranged the FDA and CDC to make sure no early treatment drugs get approved or recommended. This is why there's no movement on fluvoxamine, ivermectin, and so on, since that would blow the EUA. Fluvoxamine is the best drug ever for COVID, with a mortality reduction of 12 times when taken early. It's the best drug to date for COVID, but the CDC and NIH are deliberately burying it until the vaccines are fully approved. Then they'll say, okay, we have all the data. So, At the end, Pfizer gets a fully approved vaccine with full liability protection. At that time, then the NIH can recognize other treatments. This is how it is wired to go. From Zero Hedge, feds seek to block promotion of nasal spray against COVID-19. The leading U.S. manufacturer of xylitol-based products says the federal government is deliberately trying to conceal a nasal spray it developed that it says has been scientifically proven to be effective in treating and preventing COVID-19. The DOJ filed a lawsuit in federal court against Utah-based company, I guess it's pronounced Clear, X-L-E-A-R. I don't know how else you'd pronounce that, but it's X-L-E-A-R on October 28th, saying it has deceptively advertised its nasal spray as a treatment and preventative of COVID-19. The lawsuit asks a federal court to permanently ban the company from promoting the nasal spray as a treatment for COVID-19 and also asks that monetary penalties be levied against it. The spray's main ingredients are saline, grapefruit seed extract, and xylitol, which is a plant-derived sweetener commonly used in oral care products. Clear's attorney told the Epoch Times that the commission is flat-out lying about the company's claims being unsupported. Houseman pointed out that the NIAID, along with the NIH, an arm of the DHHS, funded clinical studies of the use of nasal sprays like Clear's and published findings last year that found they were an effective treatment and method of prevention for COVID-19. When Clear tells people about scientific studies, even ones republished by the NIH, we are somehow misleading people and making false claims. It's nonsensical. Rather than embrace nasal interventions, the government is trying to eliminate their use because they don't fit the government's highly flawed vaccine-only agenda. From USSA News, fully vaccinated choir concert ends in substantial COVID-19 outbreak. A choir concert in Germany that allowed only fully vaccinated or recovered people to attend, banning those who are unvaccinated but could provide a negative test, resulted in a COVID-19 outbreak that infected at least 24 people. Despite this, and Germany currently experiencing record COVID cases, scientists, doctors, and, of course, politicians are calling for the same 2G rules to be imposed nationwide, rather than 3G rules, which do allow for a negative test. This means that the vaccinated people who can still spread the virus will be free to go about their lives, whereas unvaccinated people who can prove they don't have COVID and therefore can't spread it will be banished from society. Makes complete sense. Okay, before I go on, I'll tell you that there are a couple of non-vaccine related articles at the end of this report. My friend wants me to throw some in, but we'll continue for now. Mail Online. At least a dozen New York Police Department officers have taken Governor DeSantis's $5,000 relocation bonus and signed on as cops in Florida. The migration of law enforcement is a part of a larger movement across the country of police officers looking for departments in pro-police communities. With a police force of 254 cops compared to New York Police Department's 36,000 police officers, the 14 former New York's finest now make up 6% of Lakeland Police Department. No cop, no firefighter, no nurse, nobody should be losing their jobs because of these jabs, Florida Governor DeSantis said. Good job, Governor DeSantis. I hope none of those people that join that police department will vote Democrat, but we'll see what happens. From the Gateway Pundit, Dr. Fauci admits vaccines did not work as advertised, and that vaccinated are in great danger today. On Friday, just this past Friday, Dr. Fauci told the New York Times podcast that vaccines did not work as advertised and that Americans are in danger due to their waning immunity. As a solution to this problem, Dr. Fauci is, of course, promoting more shots. From WND, surprise! Watch Bill Gates reveal truth about COVID shots. Bill Gates, a longtime vaccine activist, although he's no doctor, has openly admitted the mRNA shots being used today don't help prevent transmission. You know, we didn't have vaccines that blocked transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce transmission. Gates said the nation needs a new way of doing things. Well, I would say that it would be to get rid of the vaccines altogether, because they do not help you with your health. They destroy your health, as we'll see in some of the articles coming up. From ABC, Vermont has the highest vaccination rate in the country, so why are cases surging? I reported on that in a previous report, but ABC goes on to basically blame the unvaccinated. From AP, COVID-19 hotspots offer sign of what could be ahead for the United States. New Mexico is running out of intensive care beds despite the state's above average vaccination rate. Waning immunity may be playing a role. People who were vaccinated early and have not yet received booster shots may be driving up infection numbers. Well, I'd say that's an absolute 100% surety, as we'll see with some later articles from the UK. From Euronews, Latvia bans unvaccinated MPs from voting and suspends pay. Brussels Times, Belgium's most vaccinated province has also the highest number of COVID cases. This seems like a thing that we repeat again and again and again. Ireland and Vermont and Belgium and everywhere else, it's the same theme. West Flanders has the highest vaccination rates in Belgium. But the province is struggling with some of the highest numbers of COVID-19 cases since the pandemic first began, with an incidence of 1,363 cases per 100,000 inhabitants over the last 14 days. It is by far the province where the virus is circulating the most and where the increase remains the strongest. It is up 67% in 1 week. From CFP, young cardiologist dies in sleep 2 weeks after getting booster vaccine. The irony of this particular article is overflowing. First, he's a cardiologist. Secondly, he got his second vaccine. And thirdly, what he says at the end leaves me with no sympathy at all for him. Dr. Sohrab Luchmedial dedicated more than 20 years to the New Brunswick Heart Center and the care of patients suffering from heart disease, said a statement from the staff of the New Brunswick Heart Center. For those that won't get their shot for selfish reasons, whatever, I won't cry at their funeral, Dr. Luchmedial said in a tweet this summer. He goes and says how bad the unvaccinated are and they're killing everybody, when in fact it's the shot that killed him. From Exposé, 89% of COVID-19 deaths in the past 4 weeks were among the fully vaccinated, according to the latest public health data. We read these guys from week to week, and it's the same thing every single week. The latest official public health data shows that the fully vaccinated accounted for 89% of COVID-19 deaths in the past 4 weeks, whilst also accounting for 77% of COVID-19 hospitalizations and 65% of alleged COVID-19 cases from October 9th through November 5th. The COVID-19 Statistical Report is a weekly report on COVID-19 data published by Public Health Scotland. And the latest update, published November 10th, confirms that things are getting worse for the fully vaccinated population by the month, whilst things improve for the non-vaccinated population. Table 18, and they go right to the public health PDF that comes from the government, and they just pull up the tables and they evaluate them for you. So, table 18 of the report confirms that the majority of COVID-19 cases were among the fully vaccinated population in the week beginning October 30th, 2021, accounting for 10,693 cases, whilst the non-vaccinated population recorded 6,854 cases. This means the vaccinated population accounted for 65% of COVID-19 cases between October 9th and November 5th, whilst the non-vaccinated population accounted for 36%. However, the difference between the vaccinated and unvaccinated gets much worse when it comes to hospitalizations, with the fully vaccinated now accounting for the majority of COVID-19 hospitalizations since at least July 2021. Table 19 of the report confirms that the majority of COVID-19 hospitalizations were among the fully vaccinated population in the week beginning October 29, 2021, accounting for 356 hospitalizations, whilst the non-vaccinated population accounted for 142 hospitalizations. This means the vaccinated population accounted for 77% of COVID-19 hospitalizations between October 9th and November 5th, whilst the non-vaccinated accounted for just 23%. But yet again, the difference between the vaccinated and unvaccinated gets much worse when it comes to deaths allegedly related to COVID-19. Table 20 of the report confirms that the majority of COVID-19 deaths were among the fully vaccinated population in the week beginning October 23rd, 2021, accounting for 108 deaths, whilst the non-vaccinated population accounted for just 14 COVID-19 deaths, nearly 8 times less. This means the vaccinated population accounted for 89% of COVID-19 deaths between October 2nd and October 29th, 2021. At the same time, the non-vaccinated accounted for just 11%. It feels good to be non-vaccinated at this point in my life. From Yahoo, thousands of double-jabbed over 50s have died from COVID in the last 4 weeks. More than 2,500 double-vaccinated over 50s have died from COVID-19 in the past month in England, new data shows. This is Yahoo. This isn't just some little site. It's a big site that reports stuff. The figures reflect the fact that the vast majority in this age group has had at least two COVID vaccines, although practically all of the older generations are now double-jabbed. The government has been ramping up the rollout of the, yes, booster vaccines to the most vulnerable to provide them with even greater death possibility. I mean, protection, it says. The government has pinned its hope on the third boosters to avoid entering Plan B semi-lockdown in England. From the Epoch Times, Brits will need three jabs to be considered fully vaccinated, says UK Prime Minister Johnson. You just keep pumping that stuff into you and you get weaker and weaker and eventually you punch your ticket because it is a death shot. From the Gateway Pundit, 28-year-old bodybuilder dies 4 days after his second Moderna COVID shot. He didn't want to get it. His tweet said, well, I had to get it and I got it, and he looked like a nice guy, but his vaccine journey ended badly. From the Gateway Pundit, Austrian Chancellor Schallenberg, I don't see why two-thirds should lose their freedom because one-third is dithering. So nowadays, you have freedom because you got the shot. That's not taking away your freedoms. That's giving you your freedoms. And the people that haven't got their shot are taking away everybody else's freedoms. He moves to place millions of the unvaccinated on lockdown. Well, good. This will keep them from getting infected by the vaccinated. We'll just keep the, you know, the unvaccinated home. They can stay at home and do their thing and be safe from the vaccinated. From NTD, COVID-19 vaccine side effects spark concern in French military. In France, dozens of military service members developed serious medical conditions after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine. No surprise there. From Mail Online, some good news. New commander of Oklahoma National Guard declares he will not enforce Defense Department's vaccine mandate after his pro-vax predecessor was suddenly replaced by State Governor Kevin Stitt. My thought is that saving these young guardsmen one good decision at a time. Yes, the Pentagon said that they are appealing this and they have authority over the guardsmen. I hope that the governor, Kevin Stitt, will stick to his guns and say, you are not allowed to force our guardsmen to take that shot. We'll see how it all pans out. From USSA News, UC Berkeley forced to cancel football game after 44 team COVID cases. 99% of the team is vaccinated. My guess is that the 1% is going to get blamed for this. Cases emerged in an environment of ongoing failure to abide by public health measures. People in the program did not get tested when sick, stay home when sick, or wear masks indoors, the statement read. Well, if they're vaccinated, why are they getting sick in the first place? The whole point of being vaccinated is so that you don't get sick, right? Failing to do so results not only in individual infections, sickness, and worse, but also threatens the safety of all around them, especially those with compromised immune systems. From Zero Hedge, all of a sudden the CDC has stopped talking about, anybody? Herd immunity. Haven't heard a word about that in a while, have you? From the Gateway Pundit, Taiwan suspends second round of Pfizer COVID vaccines for children due to heart problems. You think that would alert the world that there's a problem out there? Next article, Epoch Times. Israel announces 5 to 11-year-olds now eligible for Pfizer vaccine following U.S. emergency approval. So there you have it. Taiwan says don't do this to children anymore, and Israel steps right in and says we're going to try it anyway. From the Gateway Pundit, another Walgreens gives adult dose of COVID vaccine to child, this time a 5-year-old in Florida. That kid's life is probably ruined forever. From CNBC, Virginia Pharmacy incorrectly administers COVID vaccine to 112 kids. Officials pull remaining doses. Smithsonian, climate change. Here, listen to this. Climate change may cause increased rates of heart defects in babies. Now, do you believe that they really believe that, or are they doing that because they're getting ready for when the shots that they are going to give to all these children all of a sudden start causing heart defects? So they're getting you ready now by saying it's climate change when, in fact, it's actually the jab. From LifeSite, 12-year-old boy in Germany dies 2 days after second Pfizer shot. Health authorities in Germany are calling the death a tragic, isolated event. If that's isolated, then everything I've reported on over the past weeks and months has nothing to do with reality. There's nothing isolated about this. This shot is killing people. It's killing old people. It's killing mid-aged people. It's killing young people. It's killing women. It's killing men. It's killing everybody that gets shot with it is liable to die. Not everybody is going to, but lots and lots of people are being killed by this shot, including a 12-year-old boy in Germany. From the Gateway Pundit, Final Frontier. Moderna begins testing experimental COVID jab on infants as young as 6 months old. They're going to start dying of heart defects, and climate change is what's going to get blamed. What do you think about that? MSN. California Sanctuary City declares itself a constitutional republic to fight COVID mandates. They've had enough of it. They're not going to take it. Epoch Times. California School Board votes to not support, enforce, or comply with Governor Newsom's vaccine mandate. A public school district in Northern California announced it will not be enforcing the state's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for K through 12 schools. In a 5-0 vote, the governing board of the Calaveras Unified School District decided to not enforce, support, or comply with Governor Gavin Newsom's mandate, which would require students at all public, public charter, and private schools to receive COVID-19 vaccines following full federal approval of the shots for their grade span. The school board said in a message to the school community that the decision, which came during the meeting, applies to both students and employees, adding that it will further discuss and potentially make a decision on mask mandates and testing protocols at its next meeting. This is saving kids one good decision at a time. That's what this is. From the Gateway Pundit, 29-year-old mountain bike national title winner Kyle Warner, diagnosed with pericarditis after taking Pfizer vaccine, his career ruined. Kyle Warner, a 29-year-old mountain bike race champion, was diagnosed with pericarditis, POTS, and reactive arthritis a month after he took the second dose of Pfizer vaccine. The vaccine has ruined his career, and he is still unwell and hasn't been able to work or ride a bike. Warner took his first dose of Pfizer vaccine in mid-May and took his second dose a month after. 2 weeks after he took the second dose, Warner started to notice some strange reactions in his heart, and he experienced a series of accelerated heart rates. He claimed that he only took the vaccine shot because he wanted to travel internationally. I'll give you some advice if you haven't taken your shot yet and you want to travel internationally. Go on the internet and look at pictures, okay? I will never travel again if it requires getting a shot. They're talking about getting rid of, you know, the ability for people to travel domestically now if they haven't got the shot. No problem. I'll just stay home and look on the internet. If I want to see the Philippines or Laos or some of the countries I've visited and really enjoyed, I can do all of it from the internet. I am not going to take that shot and get myself killed by it. I'd rather, you know, die in my sleep or have somebody come through the door here and shoot me or something else than take that shot and be damaged, unhealthy, and waiting for my day to die, which could be years away, it could be minutes away. It's just not worth it. Anyway, we'll go on. Study finds. Holiday hell. 3 in 5 Americans banning unvaccinated relatives from family gatherings. Oh boy, if that's the way they are, you don't need to be their family anyway. A survey of 2,000 U.S. residents conducted by One Poll on November 2nd examined how the COVID-19 vaccine has impacted people's relationships with their loved ones ahead of the holidays this year. According to the results, 2 in 3 respondents feel they cannot go home for the holidays without getting vaccinated first. Then don't go home for the holidays. Okay, that's my recommendation. Of the 65% who were fully vaccinated, 58% have reportedly cut off family members who refused to get the vaccine. Good. If I have a family member that's like that, I don't need to talk to that person. Meanwhile, 63% don't feel comfortable inviting unvaccinated relatives to their parties. 72% of vaccinated respondents don't think they could ever get some of their other family members to understand the importance of the vaccine. On the other hand, 14% of survey respondents don't plan to ever get the shot themselves. I guess I should raise my right hand. That's me. I'm one of that 14%. I will never get that shot unless they tie me up, throw me on the ground, have 3 big guys sit on me, and pump it into me. It's not going to happen. This is a murder weapon. That's all it is. From Breitbart, Biden's banking nominee calls to eliminate all private bank accounts. This is one of the non-COVID articles. But it all ties together in this world. Everything ties together. Saleh Omarova, Biden's nominee for the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, called during a March 2021 virtual conference to eliminate all private bank accounts and deposits. Yes, your money that you have earned, she wants to take away from you. All of it. Omarova discussed one of her papers, The People's Ledger, How to Democratize Money and Finance the Economy, which would help redesign the financial system and make the economy more equitable for everyone. She said it would change the private-public power balance and democratize finance to a more systematic level. During her explanation of her paper, she said that the Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank, can only use indirect levers to induce private banks to increase their lending. Her paper calls for eliminating all banks and transferring all bank deposits to Fed accounts at the Federal Reserve. During her conference speech, she said there will be no more private bank accounts and all of the deposit accounts will be held directly at the Fed. Omarova said her proposal would give the Fed more proactive monetary policy tools, such as helicopter money. She also pondered how the Federal Reserve could take money from Americans during an inflationary environment. Well, we're there, aren't we? We're in an inflationary environment, so her little wheels are spinning right now. She's a commie. She's a commie, and she wants to get your money from you. That's what these people want, Biden and all of them. They've got this COVID thing going so that they can introduce all of these other things for your benefit, right? I don't think so. Okay, we're going to close with some comments on the UK's expatriated royals. Yes, Harry and Meghan. From Great Britain News, Patrick Christie's, he's a commentator there. He says, Meghan and Harry are totally worthless as people. No disagreement there. Okay, from Great Britain News, Meghan Markle's dad said maybe Prince Harry was dropped on his head as a baby. Well, I think that's probably the case. He's a little bit dented in his head and his brain does not function properly. Before we close today, I'd like to read you something from the book of Genesis and talk about it just very shortly. Okay, I'm going to take you to Genesis 19. It's that infamous story that everybody loves to hate and point fingers at. It says here, Genesis 19, then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in the cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old,
and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. So you say, what a terrible story. Two girls getting their dad drunk and sleeping with him. Well, they had a reason. They said right there, we will preserve the lineage of our father. The word in Hebrew is seed. It's zerah. And what they were doing was they were saying, hey, we are of the people of the Messiah. Abraham had the promise that he would lead to the Messiah, and here Lot is related to him. And so we know that the Messiah is coming and that we want to preserve the seed of our father that will lead to the Messiah as well. This is what was on their mind. You can tell that from the way that the story is structured. And in fact, what happened is that the first daughter had a son named Moab, and Moab was the family, became the people group from whom Ruth came from. You know, the story of Ruth, which is, what, the eighth book in the Bible, I believe. And then from there, she led down to King David. And from King David, she was an ancestor of Jesus. That's recorded in Matthew 1, verse 5. And then the second daughter was the father of a son named Ben-Ammi, who was of the people, the Ammonites, the father of the Ammonites. And this group, the Ammonites, actually married into Jesus' line as well. Rehoboam was the son of an Ammonitess. He's the son of Solomon, and from Solomon marrying this woman, Rehoboam was born. He's the king of Israel, and in Matthew 1, verse 7, you will find his name recorded. So you have both of these daughters in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. That is why this story was put into the Bible, was to show us the lineage of Jesus. That fallible human people that had to make difficult decisions in their life, some of them were correct, some of them were not, some of them were probably very uncomfortable for the people involved, but those people were honored by becoming ancestors of Jesus Christ. Everything in this book leads to him, and everything that you do should be to glorify him. These two women are remembered in the Bible for what they did, and if you study the Bible, you'll see that they're being honored for their actions. Likewise, you, no matter what you do, no matter how tragic it has been in your life, no matter how difficult your life has been or the decisions you've made in the past that were not appropriate, they can all be reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're willing to cede your life to him, to live for him, and to honor him, he will honor you. And he'll take all of the baggage that you have in your life that's worthless, and he will turn it around and make it a finely polished gem. I'm absolutely certain of this, if you will put him first. So please put Jesus first. Don't get the jab. Cling to the promise that God has a better plan and a purpose for you because of his son, Jesus. And so, such is the world in which we live. And from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.